Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Progressive, emergent, liberal influence upon our society, and especially in the area of politics. But of course, when I say progressive, emergent, and liberal, I'm not talking about just secular liberal politics, but rather so-called Christian progressives, emergents, and basically, you know, what they are, liberals, who are seeking, of course, to influence our society, and especially through the political realm. We recently had elections in America, and we've also been looking at Relevant Magazine as they feature many of the so-called progressive, emergent, contemplative, or contemplative, however you want to pronounce it, individuals, as well as some who might be termed extreme Pentecostal or charismaniac is a term that I think is somewhat fitting. As I say, not all people who are charismatic or Pentecostal go to the extremes as some of the people that would be featured in Relevant Magazine or Charisma Magazine. But anyway, we touched on and will be in future podcasts looking at some of the current events concerning the political agenda of liberal, so-called liberal Christians, and some of the articles that I find that are very pertinent, if not relevant, that are found in Relevant Magazine. If you've been paying attention to some of my past podcasts, I've been going through a series concerning much deception that takes place in so-called Christian magazines. And we've looked in the past at Charisma Magazine, at Sojourners Magazine, and we've got our foot in the door with Relevant Magazine. Now, tonight, we will probably be examining mostly some articles that pertain to some of the current events that I was wanting to cover, and particularly in light of the midterm elections that took place recently. And I had left off referencing an article that I had found in the Pulpit and Pen website, but actually that article, which on their website was, you know, concerning Tim Keller, Russell Moore, trying to move Christians into the Democratic fold. That was the title they gave the article. But actually, they took that article, which was written by Reverend Thomas Littleton, and from his site, 30piecesofsilver.org, and the original title is Political Subversion, Moving Christians into the Democratic Party Fold. So I want to read from that article. Some of you will be familiar with some of this information, but I think it is all, as I say, relevant to us to see what's taking place in the name of Christianity in trying to basically, unknowingly, perhaps, many of these liberal folks are helping to pave the way for the Antichrist and the coming globalistic one-world government, one-world religion, which the Scripture speaks clearly and plainly will take place in the future, and perhaps we're seeing the groundwork being laid for that. So anyway, getting on to the article, it says, midterm elections demonstrate that the classic battle lines are being redrawn among evangelical voters. Ongoing and concerted efforts through American conservative Christian seminaries, churches, and secular mainstream media are intensifying to reshape the foundations and convictions which drive the evangelical vote. Leadership continues to come from trusted ministers like Tim Keller of the Gospel Coalition and the Southern Baptists ERLC's Russell Moore. Formerly, the efforts were to detract from conservatives, but now the push is to openly abandon pro-life, pro-family Republicans and endorse Democratic candidates. Tim Keller's recent opinion piece in the New York Times provides a look at some of the rhetoric being engaged in. Keller asks, what role should Christians play in politics? And asserts that more people than ever are asking this question. He goes on to say, while believers can register under a party affiliation and can be active in politics, Thanks for the permission, Dr. Keller, Mr. Littleton says. They should not identify the Christian church or faith with a political party as the only Christian one. Keller then quotes British ethicist James Mumford, who warns against package deal ethics that come with a party with party affiliations. Keller omits, in other words, he doesn't let you know, that Mumford works at the Center for Social Justice in London and stateside with Keller's friends at the Institute for Advanced Studies in Culture. Mumford's work touts critical theory and the Marxist Frankfurt School inspiration from which Keller and Mumford, as well as the IASC, draw their rhetoric of fake social justice while attacking individualism, conservative culture wars, and capitalism. The next part of his article, it says, are Beto voters among Texas evangelicals reflective of a trend? Another New York Times piece by Faith and Values correspondent Elizabeth Diaz featured recent interviews with five Texas evangelical moms or mothers troubled by Christians' past voting loyalties. Diaz says all are longtime Republican voters solely because they oppose abortion rights. Only one of them broke ranks to vote for Hillary in 2016, but this November, they have all decided to vote for Mr. O'Rourke, that is, Beto O'Rourke. Radio host Janet Mefford researched and found that at least three of the Beta moms are tied to Village Church in Flower Mound, Texas, where Pastor Matt Chandler preaches for social justice against white privilege and is a leader in both Keller's TGC and Moore's ERLC. Also revealed by Mefford's research is that these women play activist roles in refugee settlement ministries, quote-unquote. One even received $20,000 in 1 year from Village Church. The progressive Christian left has been awash in George Soros funding, as revealed years ago by American Association of Evangelicals, Rent and Evangelical, and that was from a AmericanEvangelicals.com article. Today we see the same funding agenda spilling over and trickling down through the conservative Christian community through ministries like World Relief, Evangelical Immigration Table, of which Moore is a member, as well as denominational mission objectives. Is this funding inspiring these evangelicals' progressive politics? Diaz points to the obvious hopeful payoff to Democrats nationwide who have largely written off white evangelical voters. It also sends a signal, not just for midterms, but also for the 2020 presidential campaign. The Gospel Coalition hires Obama faith spokesman, is the next section of the article. Former Obama administration faith-based and re-election campaign faith outreach coordinator, Michael Ware, is now working with Keller's TGC, the Gospel Coalition. Ware's book, Sports Endorsements from Keller and Evangelical Leaders Russell Moore, Andy Stanley, Ann Voskamp, and fellow Obama spiritual advisor Joel Hunter, ERLC Midterm Roundtable, a young lobbyist of Russell Moore for ERLC's D.C. offices, recently hosted Nashville ERLC employee Brent Leatherwood for a midterm roundtable discussion. He was hired by Moore after Tennessee GOP officials tired of his team's subversive work, which almost bankrupted the Tennessee Republican Party. In the roundtable video, the ERLC crew discuss the likelihood of the Democratic Party retaking the House in 2018. They then focus on the Senate seats up for grabs by Democrats. Of course, this is concerning the past midterm election. The ERLC team recommends voter resources like CNN, where Moore frequently appears alongside primetime anchors, including CNN Marxist Obama pal Van Jones. ERLC also recommends NBC and the Cook Political Report by Charles Cook, a favorite of left-leaning outlets ABC, NBC, New York Times, and Washington Post. In conclusion, the face of conservative Christian political engagement is changing rapidly by covert and overt forces from within. The steady creep of diluted doctrine and progressive social justice has weakened a generation of Christians' resolve and conviction. liberal mainstream media now have partners deep within the evangelical leadership, moving the church to embrace leftist policy and political candidates. And this is why I say in the past, I don't know what the term evangelical means anymore, and I just as soon call myself a neo-fundamentalist or something else. Too much confusion for me. The loss of the evangelical base, once complete, will prove catastrophic to the conservative movement in America, as well as to personal and religious freedom. A rapid and sustained movement must be organized to counter this subversive revolution against Christian conservatism. And speaking of this very subversion, I mentioned last week that I wanted to take a look at Kirsten Power, who basically was kind of a convert through Tim Keller's church. And so I wanted to take a look at her background, because she has several platforms on liberal TV and newspapers into which to try to subvert true Christianity and conservatives by reason of the fact that she claims to be a Christian and yet promotes very anti-Christian views. So let's look at a couple articles pertaining to Kirsten Powers. I followed her for quite some time now. And, you know, she was a USA Today columnist, and we'll get into that a little bit in a while. But I remember seeing that, oh, wow, here's a lady that she became a Christian. She got saved. Isn't that great? You know, and then she became a commentator on Fox News, you know, and then she left Fox News and went to CNN, and then she converted to Catholicism, and then she, well, anyway, but we'll get into some of that. This is an article. It's published by CNN, CNS News. CNN's Kirsten Powers: White women who support Trump are racist. Now, this is one of the more recent articles that I have concerning Kirsten Powers, and this just kind of opens the door to some of the things I wanted to share. So CNN political analyst Kirsten Powers, also a columnist for USA Today, said that white women benefit from the white patriarchal system, and that if they voted for Donald Trump and support him, then they are racist. Just because you voted for Trump because you dislike Hillary Clinton doesn't make you not racist, Powers explained on CNN Tonight, hosted by Don Lemon. It actually makes you racist, she said. If you support somebody who does racist things, that makes you racist. So I want to establish that. All right, let's see some other things concerning Kirsten Powers. And this is, of course, I have some information from Wikipedia, and then I also have an article entitled Anti-Christian CNN Analyst Kirsten Powers Becomes an Evangelical, you know, supposedly, and that's from the Reasons for Jesus website. And I debated which of these to read first. I'm going to go with what we have here in the, just to give you a background, her political positions from the Wikipedia. Powers supports universal health care. Thus, she initially supported President Barack Obama's health care reform. You know what? I'm going to go with the other article first. I apologize. This is the article, as I say, anti-Christian CNN analyst Kirsten Powers becomes an evangelical. James Bishop wrote the article. Kirsten Powers, a columnist and TV political pundit, began her career in 1992 as a Democratic Party staff assistant, in which she assisted with the transition between President Bush and President Clinton. She continued to work with the Clinton administration for the next 6 years, and then worked for the Democrat Party in various roles. Eventually, she transitioned to being a full-time member of the political media. She also serves as a columnist to USA Today, Newsweek, The Daily Beast, and was a contributor on Fox News. She has since joined CNN officially as a commentator on August 22, 2016. Although she now identifies as a Christian, we find that Powers once had a very negative view of Christianity when she was an atheist. Just 7 years ago, if someone had told me I'd be writing for Christianity Today magazine about how I came to believe in God, I would have laughed out loud. If there was one thing in which I was completely secure, it was that I would never adhere to any religion, especially to evangelical Christianity, which I held in particular contempt. I derided Christians as anti-intellectual bigots who were too weak to face the reality that there is no rhyme nor reason to the world. And then, of course, you know, I would say that now, well, anyway, and we'll see now, later, we'll see that she views everyone as a child of God. And that, of course, goes along with Matthew 25, or the misinterpretation of it by most social justice warriors, that when you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so far, so that equates to everybody is a child of God. You know, whether they're saved or not doesn't really matter. But anyway, Power's mother was a lapsed Catholic who had no discernible faith, and her father was an Episcopalian who took us to church every Sunday. Okay, her father raised her as a Christian and tried to believe based on the fact that she admired him so much. But her father soon fell into a dark hole when it came to his belief. Now, remember, Episcopalian. Father was an Episcopalian. Mother was a lapsed Catholic. And though there are some conservative Episcopalians and even some Episcopalians that are saved, the big problem with the Episcopalian denomination as a whole is liberalism. You know, they reek of liberalism. And Michael Youssef, I believe, is a great Christian preacher who happens to be Episcopalian. But he's really, I think, one of the few, you know, really solid Episcopalians. Anyway, as I teetered on the edge of disbelief, I called my father looking for reassurance. Instead, he confided to me that as much as he had struggled to believe and at times had possessed a genuine but fragile faith, he had come to the unhappy conclusion that God wasn't real. Her father's doubts, however, would have a big influence on her. I was suddenly untethered, and I felt as though I could barely breathe. And there it was. But there it was. If my father, the most brilliant man I knew, didn't believe in Christianity, then it couldn't be true. And so I fell away too. Now, excuse me. From within her early 20s, Powers would waver between atheism and agnosticism, never coming close to considering that God could be real. After her college graduation, her work exposed her to what she called an aggressively secular peer group that only cemented her atheist views and her contempt for evangelical Christianity. When it came to her love life, her friends set her up on dates because she was single and desired companionship, but Powers had one major boundary, and that was no religious people. However, to her surprise, she found that one man she started dating was in fact religious. I started dating a guy who mentioned in passing that he attended a Presbyterian church. I flinched, but I liked him, and because I was so religiously illiterate, I didn't understand that some Presbyterian churches are evangelical. I assumed he was a cultural Christian, like the few other Christians I knew. You know, it says that, you know, she warned him that even though I was willing to show up at a church from time to time, the chances of me becoming a Christian were less than zero. But it turned out that the church he attended was pastored by a man named Tim Keller, who might be the most persuasive Christian apologist and evangelical pastor of his generation, if not the century, according to Kirsten Power, in her opinion. His sermons would weave together threads from philosophy, history, music, literature, and even popular culture. I had never heard anyone talk about the Bible or Jesus the way Keller did. Okay. I came to realize, you know, that, of course, obviously Keller had a profound influence on her, and she came to realize that even if Christianity wasn't the real thing, neither was atheism. Powers then began to realize that there was some evidence in favor of Christianity and that this was something that she only started to notice for the first time. About a year into this unlikely journey, I came to the conclusion that the weight of evidence was on the side of Christianity being true, but this was a head decision and not one of the heart. Shortly after arriving at that conclusion, I went on a business trip to Taiwan. Here comes the heart decision, supposedly. During the travel, I prayed fervently that God would reveal himself to me, though I didn't really understand what I was asking for. And then one morning, I awoke from a dream in which Jesus had come to me and said, "Here I am." I was overwhelmed and frightened because the experience was so real. I suddenly felt God everywhere, and it was terrifying. More important, it was unwelcome. It felt like an invasion. I started to feel like I was going crazy. All right, so she had this experience, and let me just say that, you know, God works in mysterious ways and in various ways, and but also we need to realize that Satan comes as an angel of light as well, and because someone has an experience about God or with a God or some God or an angel or Jesus or whatever, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the Jesus of the Bible. You know, she says that Jesus came and said, "Here I am." You know, well, that's good enough for me. Remember, Johanna Michelson, through creative visualization, she met Jesus too. Jesus came, said, I guess he said, "Here I am" to her. I'm not sure. But she was convinced that, you know, it's Jesus. It's the real Jesus. You know, through my experience, here he is. And so I guess what I'm saying, and of course it wasn't. It was a false Jesus. It was not the Jesus of the Bible. So, you know, we can see, and we will see later, in some of the beliefs and the ideas that Powers has that are unbiblical and not according to the Scripture, not according to the Word of God, that Jesus Christ, the real Jesus Christ, represents and is represented by. And you have to take that into consideration, and we'll see a little bit more of that as we move on. So Powers really wanted to share this experience with someone who would listen, and so she reached out to a friend. This was a friend who was a friend of her boyfriend who had broken up with her right after she had gotten back from this trip. I ended up reaching out to a Christian I had met through my now ex-boyfriend and uncomfortably recounted my dream to him. He himself had become a believer through a dream and insisted that I needed to join a Bible study. So I took a breath and headed to the Upper East Side Bible study my friend had suggested. I wish I could remember exactly what was said that first day, because as I stepped out onto the sidewalk after the meeting, I was overwhelmed by the truth of the Gospels. And you know, too bad she's not overwhelmed by the truths that God's Word has to say about some of the positions, about some of the doctrines, and some of the views that she holds in a negative way, things that she believes that are contrary to God's clear revelation of His Word. But those are what I want to look at now, and that's why I saved this Wikipedia information for last. So let me pull that out here. And sorry for the dead air time here. This is always embarrassing. And I can honestly say that I'm stalling. No. Anyway, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. The political possessions of Kirsten Powers. She supports universal health care, as I mentioned before, and thus she initially supported Barack Obama's health care reform, later became critical of its implementation. Okay. She opposed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy on homosexuals serving in the military, and she supports civil unions for same-sex couples. Well, now that's real biblical, right? You know, I'm sure, you know, many liberals like to say, well, Jesus never said anything against homosexuality, but as I've said in the past, he also didn't say anything against other evil practices. He also spoke about Sodom and Gomorrah when he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, saying, in other words, that when he comes back to judge the world, it's not going to be a good thing, because the world's going to be in the same kind of condition that places like Sodom and Gomorrah that he judged severely, and the people of Noah's day, etc., were. So Jesus did kind of refer to the practices of homosexuality indirectly through those verses. Anyway, she also believes that churches should be left to perform the kinds of marriages that they want. Powers is opposed to, she opposed the Fairness Doctrine and a constitutional amendment to ban flag burning. She also supports comprehensive immigration reform and providing a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants, and favors gun control. So there's gun control and, you know, illegal immigrants, you name it. She's opposed to the death penalty. There we go. That was instituted by God right after he judged the world in Noah's time, and when Noah landed on back on the earth from the ark, and God set up the dispensation of human government. Anyway, it says Powers briefly dated former Congressman Anthony Weiner in 2002. And, of course, I had to put the note there. At least she has good taste in men. Couldn't resist, folks. Saw that one coming, didn't you? And remained his close friend until their romantic relationship ended. Powers was raised an Episcopalian, as I mentioned, but spent much of her early adult life as an atheist, as I mentioned. In her mid-30s, she became an evangelical Christian. So she became an evangelical. The process of conversion began when she dated a religious Christian man, which I mentioned, who introduced her to the Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City and the teachings of its pastor, Tim Keller, who, of course, we've talked to in the past podcast and even in this one, concerning his efforts to bring evangelical Christians into the Democratic voting fold, you know, the ones who believe in abortion and homosexual marriage and all those other not-so-biblical things. And so, anyway, she came to his church and culminated in an experience in 2006 when, during a visit to Taiwan, she believes that she was visited by Jesus, mentioned that. She had called her conversion a bit of a mind-bender due to her political beliefs and former atheism, and prefers the term Orthodox Christian over evangelical. So she doesn't want to call herself an evangelical either. I don't, because there's too many liberals, as far as I'm concerned, taking the term. But she doesn't want to probably use the term, because there's probably too many conservatives using the term still. So anyway, she wants to use Orthodox Christian to describe herself, given the cultural baggage around the latter term. She has said that the biggest impact her newfound faith had on her political beliefs was that she came to view everyone as God's child. I mentioned that before, and that means everyone deserves grace and respect. Well, yeah, that's true. They do deserve grace and respect, but believe me, everyone is not a child of God unless they've been born again. That's according to Jesus. You know, you must be born again, he said. In October 10th, 2015, Powers was received into the Catholic Church. So, you know, she's now Catholic. You know, so this is what you're dealing with those who are claiming to be Christians. I talked last week about Stephen Colbert, the Catholic Christian who constantly attacks conservative views and true biblical belief. So, anyway, we're just about out of time. Next week, we'll be looking again a little bit more at Relevant Magazine. We'll also be looking at the consequences of those who grace the pages of Relevant Magazine and also the pages of the Elijah List and who make false prophecies, including prophecies concerning elections. So we'll look at that next week because we're out of time now. God bless you all. I hope you return with us next week.